comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors. Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. This is talk radio like nowhere else on Earth. That's a fact. And it's also a fact that this is the show where you matter. Don't forget, if you have not subscribed to the K-Files, be sure you do. It's our free weekly newsletter. And the key word there is free. We don't use any ploys. We don't use any trick language. You know, if we say it's free, it's free. And when you subscribe, you'll get a confirmation email. You have a link in there to click and activate your subscription. You can unsubscribe anytime you want. And I invite you to move from the mushrooms and into the... Join the informed, and most of our subscribers stay with us forever, but you can, of course, unsubscribe anytime you want to. You know, we have some subscribers that have been with the K-Files since 2000. That's when the show started, and a few months after the show started, we started the K-Files, and we have some subscribers that have been with us right from... the beginning of the K-Files, and we invite you to check it out. If you haven't done so, be sure you do. Also, the members area. You know, in the members area, you can watch the show, and you can watch the latest show, and you can get into chat, you can get into the forums, you can download all of the books in our e-books in our free library. You can watch videos. There's a lot to do in the members area. It's well worth the 23 cents a day. I got one email from someone saying that the listen to latest show was not working today, and was kind of upset. And I'm not upset about this, but look, let me just explain. It's free. Okay, you're getting that free. Now go to the other major talk shows and see if you even get to listen free, all right, to the live show. But I only got one saying that it didn't work, and so I'm assuming that's something wrong with that person's connection or computer, because I listened to it all the way through after I got that email. I didn't have any problem. If you did, though, if you had some problem with the listen to latest show today, would you please send me an email and describe the problem so I can try to track it down? But remember, it's gravy. It's free. The real deal is the live show, and it's free. And so I invite you to listen to the real deal, to the live show. And it will be live tonight. My guest tonight is Laura Magdalene Eisenhower, and she is the great-granddaughter of President Ike Eisenhower. She has some amazing things to talk about. This will be controversial. If that upsets you, if you get ulcers over that, either grab your Tums, your Rolaids, your Alka-Seltzer, or you may need to switch channels. We'll be back. Thank you. and welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening has a very famous family name. Just about everyone on this planet recognizes the family name Eisenhower. I suppose that can be a blessing. I suppose it can be a burden, depending on the situation. But she's not the first Eisenhower that we've had on the show. We had Jean Eisenhower, President Ike Eisenhower's granddaughter. Laura is his great-granddaughter. Interestingly, when Jean Eisenhower was on the show, she talked to us about her new book at that time called Rattlesnake Fire. And it's about mind control and alien abductions. And her journey toward finding the truth. And it's also mentions some rather severe government harassment she went through. Tonight, we have Laura Magdalene Eisenhower. And it's my great privilege to have her as our guest this evening. Laura, welcome to the Kevin Smith Show.
Thank you for having me.
You probably, because of the family name.
I can't hear you.
Okay. Well, let's see if we can bump it a little bit. Can you hear me better now?
Not very well.
That's as good as it gets.
There we go.
All right. Okay. Now, because of the family name, you've probably heard all kinds of stories about your great-grandfather. And all I want to say about him at this point is he was the president. He became president the year I was born, and he was president until I was in the third grade. And every time he was on television, my dad used to point.
I'm losing you again.
Okay, that's a problem with your phone because we're giving it to you full bore.
Okay.
So the thing with your great granddad was my dad would point to him every time we saw him on television and say, that's the greatest man alive. And, so that's what I remember. I was only, you know, in the third grade, but that's what I remember about, your great granddad. Now you've, grown up with the Eisenhower name, and it's pretty interesting that both you and Jean have come out talking about the reality of extraterrestrials and alien abductions and things like that. Last week, a question came up on the show about something you had said on Alfred Weber's radio show. That was the first I had heard about it, so I checked it out to see what you said, and as a result, I decided we needed to have you here and let you say it for yourself. So, as I told the audience at the beginning, this is controversial. If it were not, it would not be here on the Kevin Smith Show. Because the only thing not controversial is dead. That's no longer creating controversies, you see. Once whatever it is dead, then there's no more controversy. Controversy is the stuff of life. So I want to let the folks know that there are some metaphysical backgrounds to much of what you say. And folks, you can go to Laura's website, just click on her picture on my website. It will take you to her website. Read the things that she's written. There's a whole lot of it, and it's very interesting. I've read it. So go to her website and read that as background and filler so that you understand everything. But we've only got 2 hours, and really we have less than that because in the second hour we open up the phone lines. So I want to jump right in, Laura, to this whole episode about a Mars colony. Now, you had been involved in a lot of, I'm using the term metaphysical study, but you had been involved in a lot of that, and then you met someone that you refer to as Agent X. And let's begin with Agent X, because from your writings, it appears to me that's where the whole issue of Mars came into your life, was with Agent X.
Right. I just wanted to clear up Jean Eisenhower. I've never met, and she's not a direct descendant, but we've met recently and started to share our story, so I just wanted to say that real quick.
Okay.
Agent X, yes. Around the time that I met him, I had already gone through, I would say, a decade or more years of some sort of weird attack and some sort of strange frequencies that were hitting my body on a constant level.
Mm-hmm.
And when I met him, I didn't know anything about him. I was at a festival, and he approached me like a normal person would, and we, you know, became friends and talked, got to know each other a little bit, and found that we had a lot in common, and there was definitely chemistry, and something magical was kind of happening, and we just seemed to hit it off. He had mentioned some things about groups that he was involved in that had mentioned something about, on an esoteric level, at an archetypal level, about Joseph of Arimathea and Magdalene crossing paths, and we just sort of, you know, recognize that symbolism or that energy in our lives, and then sort of moved on from there and began to date. During that time, I started to find out a little bit about some other groups that he was in, and the issue of Mars came up. And, you know, I didn't think much of it because it didn't come up that often, and it was something that he met with, you know, certain times of the year, and it didn't seem to be a very loud concern or issue. It was just something in the background that could have, you know, had anything to do with many things that I've read about Mars over the years. I just didn't really know on what level he was discussing it. So about 3 months into that, or maybe a little bit longer, we decided that we would, you know, be together, and I would move to the area where he was living because we had formed a relationship. And so while I was in the D.C. area and he was visiting me, he would go to meetings and see people, and there was definitely something going on. But I didn't really know, and I just asked a few questions, and a lot was very hush-hush. But I had told him about my path and my mission, which was to really, you know, create restoration on this planet and to harmonize the male and female energies, and that, a lot of that is written on my site, so I won't go into it. But he was very, very clued into what I felt my mission was, that I had felt since I was a young girl. So when I met him, it just seemed like we had this organic just connection that seemed to align with what I felt my mission was, that seemed to be, you know, disconnected to what things were unfolding on an organic level on this planet, as far as just surrendering to nature and just feeling that as a calling. So after I moved there, this Mars thing started to come up more, and it started to really kind of upset me because it didn't feel right to me. It didn't feel like something I wanted to do. And I found out more about, you know, what this was referring to, and some of the names that were behind creating this mission, and some of the hidden groups.
Okay, well, let's pause right there for a moment and kind of clarify some things, or actually kind of flesh them out a little bit. You say this Mars thing would come up. How did he bring it up? Did he say, "Hey, baby, let's go to Mars," or how did he do that?
Well, it was just kind of like, I meet with these people, and we're discussing this mission. It had to do with Earth cataclysms, and you know, these ships that were going to go to Mars, and that there was, you know, something being established there. Something was there already. I couldn't quite grasp that aspect of it. And I later on found out, just to kind of fast forward so the audience knows, he later told me that he was sent to find me, that actually when I met him at the festival, it wasn't like there was an attraction and then, hey, you know, let's go to Mars, you know, I got a crush on you and I'm heading that way, so want to come along? It wasn't like that. Mm-hmm. It was basically they had sent him as this agency, as his handler, to locate me. They had been tracking me, and, you know, he confessed that he had gone to the festival specifically to find me and that his mission was to befriend me but not have a relationship right away, or they were sort of trying to be in charge of how that was all unfolding.
Mm-hmm.
So he was sort of stuck between these two worlds, where one aspect of it was him and I just forming a normal relationship and really liking each other, and it was obvious that there was a connection. And then this other aspect that related to Mars that was very manipulated and very controlled. And so when I found out later that he was sent to find me, there was still sort of this, but I love you, and even though they did that, you know, we have what we have, blah, blah, blah. So as it came up more and more, I noticed strange things in his behavior. He would get phone calls and drop everything and go on these missions. And when these phone calls happened, I noticed that it seemed like he was being controlled. His energetics changed. Sometimes he would go out and talk, you know, to the sky. And, you know, not that I witnessed it, but he would go off into the night and communicate with these things, because he would come back and kind of fill me in. He had also told me a lot about abductions. Talked to me a lot about different things that he had seen, you know, like animals skinned and drained of their blood and some sort of radiation that they were emitting that made him very sick. And he also talked about chips that his mother possibly had, or not possibly, I mean, she did have, and led to some strange behaviors that he was exposed to growing up that, you know, involved just all sorts. Okay, what happened was I pieced it all together, so that sort of comes later in the story of how this man was targeted and manipulated. So this is all later on when I piece it together. But at this stage in the story, I'm just finding out about what this all, you know, means, and what my part is and why I'm being sort of chosen, and why, you know, not knowing that they had been sent to find me. So
did you ever know his, did you know his name?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was my partner, so.
Okay, so how does he get the title Agent X? Is that something they call him or something you're calling him?
I'm just calling him that to protect him right now, but it's not probably going to last that much longer. So, yeah, I know I've exposed the name of the group and the name of the people in certain places that I've removed, because I'm not going to get into that web, but there was an agency that was instructing him of what to do. And it wasn't until later that I found out he was sent to find me. But one night,
was this a government agency?
It was a hidden group that was related to the CIA. I could say the name, but I don't think that'd be a good idea right now.
Okay.
And there's many members that you know are you know known figures. Some of them are known figures, but there's this sort of hidden group that does investigative work, but also had been planning this mission. And when I saw his behavior so erratic, and I found out about the chips in his family and the, you know, alien experiences that he was having, and then this mission to Mars, and how his behavior would shift with these phone calls, and how, you know, my refusal to go left to all sorts of things like, you know, well, if you don't come, they'll kidnap you. And it just didn't seem like a Noah's Ark type thing to go off, you know, just in case, you know, the Earth has cataclysms, that there's some backup plan. First of all, the fact that it's kept secret is a sign that, you know, there's something sinister going on. So I just was trying to sort it out. And I had a dream that I wrote in that article about being taken up into a ship and being given a choice to either go with them or to stay on Earth. And I chose to stay on Earth, and I fell out of the ship. And there was an alignment that happened. And it was very, you know, it just seemed right in my being, and this incredible light came. And then, you know, before that happened, I tried to get back to the ship just to communicate with them because I knew that my partner was there. But there was lightning and thunder, and I couldn't reach it. So that's when everything started to unfold. I woke up that morning and I told him that I had that dream, and he got very nervous, and that's when I started to find out that he was sent to find me, and I started to discover a little bit more about what this mission was related to. So there was a gray period where I just didn't know, and I didn't know the intentions behind it, but after that dream and after I witnessed very strange behavior on his part, and I got the names of the people that he was dealing with and I did research on them, I realized that this was not a good mission or a good plan, and it just strengthened my desire and need to break free of it. And it was very, very, very hard. There was all sorts of strange death threats that he was getting. He was stuck between, having a love for me and wanting to protect me and then wanting to serve this mission. So they basically said, you know, their whole intention was to recruit me, and the fact that I refused really created quite a stir because I don't think they expected it. I found out that they had a list of men that they were going to use to try and, you know, lure me in and target me, and that the reason they chose partners was because they kind of used them as bait. They recruited them through time travel devices, some sort of remote viewing or Akashic records. They were able to spot that this person and I had some significant relationship, and before him and I met in a natural way, they had located him and manipulated him in order to be the bait that would lure me into this mission with him. And this all, you know, my intuition told me, and then the more research I did, it started to make sense. Because of the archetypal names that were being thrown around, he was identifying himself as, you know, an Osiris energy, Oberon and Orion, and he, you know, revealed to me that they knew me as, that I carried the code of Sophia Magdalene, and that later on I figured out that it was to use our creative energy to reseed a new civilization on Mars. And as wacko as that sounds, you know, for about 6 months, I had no choice but to research this for my own survival. The energy that was coming off of his being made me physically sick, because after he would speak to these entities and drop everything to do these missions, whatever was coming off of his being or body made me not well. And, you know, for him to tell me any truth, you know, took a lot. You know, that was the part of him that wanted to protect me. So I found out things that I don't think I was supposed to know. And I have a strong desire to protect him. And the thing is, if anything happens to him, this is part of those that are trying to keep this covered up, that are seeing him as possibly the enemy for maybe cluing me into what this was really all about. But he didn't do it intentionally.
Let me insert a couple of questions here. You mentioned these phone calls he would get. Now, and then he would go off on some mission. Did you ever hear who was on the other end of the line?
No, but the names that would always come up when it related to the Mars mission were the names that I researched that were names that were associated with some negative technologies that are involved in mind control and HARP technologies. Mm-hmm. So when I sort of, it took me about 2 weeks to, now I think it's more available on the internet, but when I started to get really suspicious, especially after that dream, and I was doing research about the names that he kept bringing up that he was working side by side with.
All right, Laura, we have to step away for a break, and we'll pick up there when we come back. Don't go away, folks. There's a lot more. Welcome back to The Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening, Laura Magdalene Eisenhower. You know, Laura, let me ask you before we go any further. Do you pronounce it Magdalene or Magdalene?
Magdalene is my middle name, but on, like, Facebook, I don't use the name Eisenhower, so I've turned my middle name into my last name.
Okay.
And that's when I use Magdalena, just to kind of make it like a last name.
Okay. All right, so we were talking about these telephone calls, and this Agent X would get these telephone calls, and his demeanor would change, and then he would go off and do these missions. Did he ever tell you what he was doing?
It seemed like he would just deliver stuff, and there was some sort of... I tried to ask him questions about it, but that's where he really kept me in the dark. The things that he let me in on, you know, really had to do with me and why I was a person of interest. And, you know, everything he said that I wrote on my website was true. Everything that I believed myself to be was true, and that they knew that. So, you know, when I created my website, it wasn't really for public consumption. It was a friend of mine's idea to just help me get this information out of me. And, you know, I have had it validated by many, many, you know, people and sources, but I kept it very low key. And so, you know, he acknowledged that I was right on with my understanding of myself, which connects to the planet Venus. and the Venus path and the Venus transits in the Mayan calendar, and that when I discovered that maybe this had something to do with them taking this creative energy and putting it on Mars was because my mission on this planet, you know, is capable of creating a pretty huge shift. It's been prophesied by the ancients of this particular path that my astrology chart reveals with seven Venuses and seven Plutos all merged together. So it connects with that. It probably connects with the Eisenhower bloodline. And but I'm the only family member that this has happened to besides Jean, who is, I think, a cousin or a distant cousin. You know, the similar type of stuff. I've talked to a lot of family members about it. And so, you know, it all ties into there. That's why on the website I write about the ancient game and how that links to very ancient archetypal things. And when I, you know, work with others, we bring it down to, you know, like abolitionists and, you know, just the freeing of humanity from the enslavement of the mind control technologies and, you know, that new world order and global elite.
So, okay. You know, now, you said you heard some names mentioned, and you became concerned about some of these people that he was, I'll use the term, hanging out with, people that he was associated with. And so you started investigating those names to find out whatever you could about them.
Right.
What did you find out?
Well, I just found out that one of the names, the main person he was working with, used to be called the grandfather of elf technologies, which is mind control, and that, and I saw the association with HAARP as well. And what was interesting is I couldn't look that much further because I was sort of in a race against time. You know, he would show up at strange times, and I was trying to sort out the information and get a grip while taking care of my twins. I mean, you know, I was raising my boys, you know, the whole way through all this. So I did enough research about this type of stuff and about, you know, chips and, you know, children being abused to have multiple personalities so that they're easily recruited into these type of things to serve their agendas. And I read a lot of case studies which sort of linked me to this website and then that website, which led me to the one that had these names associated with these, you know, these uses of these technologies in very unethical ways. So, and it was, and that's when I knew, and that's when we really broke free and couldn't be together because they wouldn't allow him to stay with me. It was sort of an all-or-nothing deal. No matter how much I begged him to stay on Earth and to drop all this and get away from them, he wasn't able to.
All right. Did you ever meet any of these people?
I did go to a party one time that other members of the group were at, but I never met the main person. But he already responded to my my claims in my article. And most, you know, there's a lot of people just saying it's a hoax and that it's false. But, you know, why would I come up with that name? I mean, I heard it every day, and it was the person that he was working with. Mm-hmm. And, you know, why would I want to put myself in that kind of danger? So, you know, it's very hard to come out with this because I was already in danger before I came out. So I don't know if it makes much of a difference.
Yeah. Well, now you've put that name on your website, right?
It's mentioned, I think, once in the article, so
yeah.
You would have to read the article. It's on the left-hand column of my website, and it's called The Ancient Game. You know, I'm not here to point fingers. I'm actually here to forgive and move on, but I do believe that we have some threats ahead of us. I know we're on the positive timeline. I know that everything's going to be okay. I'm strongly merged with this Venus path that relates to the transits that are opening up a portal and a gateway to this multidimensional you know, shift into an enlightened era where space travel and exploration is done on our own terms, and we're free from all this.
Now, when he would talk with you, about the Mars colony, I mean, it reached a point where that was coming up all the time, and you were becoming very uneasy about it. When he would talk with you about this colony, did he talk about it as already being in existence, or was it something that was going to happen in the future?
Well, the journey to get there was going to happen in the future, but something was already being developed there in preparation for it that maybe had been there a while, from what I gathered. That's a little bit vague to me, but I do know that I overheard some conversations where they were discussing things that were already in existence there. But what was happening in the future was the crafts that were being, you know, they needed funding to, you know, make this mission happen. They had already named the ships. And, you know, a part of me thought, you know, maybe this is some sort of Noah's Ark thing, you know, just in case. And after learning about these technologies and seeing how this was all playing out, it certainly was not. It was under some sort of control, and a lot of harm is being done to people, and it's very secret, and, you know, it was against my will, and I didn't have any say but to either go along or, you know, it was just extremely dangerous and very difficult to break free of it.
All right, now, two things. Did you ever hear them talk about how they get from here to the colony that's being constructed? How did they transport themselves from Earth to Mars to do this work?
Well, I believe that there was some sort of jump rooms, there's other testimonies from people like Andy Basiago and a few others that, you know, have claims that deal with something very parallel and similar. I didn't directly hear anything about that. What I did hear about was the ships and some sort of way that the technology was being developed that was very advanced. Seemed to be. He had written up a bunch of stuff about it, and I had read it. I browsed through it. I had such resistance to the whole thing that I didn't want any part of it. All I was doing was trying to get away from it. So, in my kind of survival, I didn't get to do, you know, the type of research I would have liked to. But, you know, there was a ton of paperwork. They had named the ships, and one of them was named Sophia. Or that was some code name for it, which had the intention of me being in there. And what was interesting was when I broke free of it, there was a report not too long after that the negative timeline had been destroyed and that, you know, the omen for the planet or, you know, the ultimate destiny of what nature and just the true essence of all of us want to create is going to happen. And it was right after I broke free, so that was interesting. But I do believe that there was something already there, but they're in the developmental phase of making the mission happen through creating crafts of some sort.
Okay,
teleportation stuff too.
Did you get the impression that they are able to live pretty much without life support on Mars?
I guess they were establishing some sort of thing with growing with algae. I don't know how they planned on doing it. It just seemed really insane. I had a hard time believing it. At one point, I thought it was a code name for something else. I mean, how would we be on Mars? And you know, like this year is when I'm finding all these whistleblowers and all these other people that have a lot of evidence and information about life on Mars and, you know, ancient civilizations. And I mean, there's so much information now from really credible sources. That seemed to line up with my story. But during that time, what I found out is, you know, certain about the Mars mission, certain that there was something already there. But now that all these pieces are coming together, I can see the bigger picture, more so now than I did then. Mm-hmm. Then I was just trying to get away from it, and I was trying to save myself and my kids.
Yeah. Okay, now this Mars colony, what's the purpose for that? I mean, what do they say is the reason they're building it?
Well, it's a you know, because the Earth is going to, there's going to be cataclysms. And the thing is with these technologies, especially HAARP, it has the ability to create cataclysms unnaturally and destroy everything. And then, you know, there might be something natural, solar flares or, you know, some meteor hitting or, you know, any of those other timelines that one knows. But if that were the case, then this stuff shouldn't be secret. It should be available to the human race to know about another colony and to, there's no reason that these sort of things should be secret or controlled. And so knowing my path, and you'll read about it on my site of how much I'm aware of what I'm here to do since I was young, to see that standing on its own without any of the Mars thing, it's obvious that there's something that can happen here on Earth that has nothing to do with cataclysms at all. There might be a thinning out of the population. The Earth might need to detox all these technologies and all this stuff. You know, it might thin out that aspect of it. But, you know, this is a war between spirit and technology in a way, but the negative form of technology, not technology, period. So my role right now and my mission is to move away this threat. I don't know if it entails, you know, busting the people behind it. It's more illuminating what we already have and awakening to the fact that we are on that track and that we have to be aware and cautious of possible plan D or E or F, because I think I've busted through quite a few of them, but, you know, who knows what's still out there, because these technologies are still there. I know that it's dangerous to delve into the darkness of what I've been through and get entangled in all that. And I don't really think that it's something we need to worry about or get wrapped up in. I need to form a council and some sort of strategic group to figure out a way to uncover it in a way that's not really, you know, maybe public consumption, but these are names that might have been on the show. So
I've
seen a few names that are associated with it already.
Mm-hmm.
When I looked at your list of names.
I would not doubt it. You know, I get asked sometimes, I have been asked, do I think there are any disinformation people that ever come on the show? And the answer to that is, although I don't specifically know of any that are disinformation agents, it would be inconceivable to me that there would not be. Because we have people in 143 countries listening to this show. If I were in charge of trying to put out some disinformation, I would want to get on that show. So, you know, it's inconceivable to me that we would not have had some disinformation on the show. I can see that easily. All right, now, it's interesting because you said the name of this ship is Sophia, which means knowledge.
Yeah, wisdom, right.
Yeah. All right, we have to take a break, and we'll be back in just a moment, folks, so don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Laura, we've got about 10 minutes or so before we will be opening the phone lines. And let me just ask you this. After you got free from Agent X, did you ever see him again, or did he leave this planet and go to Mars, or do you not know?
I can't hear you very well.
Well, we changed nothing. It's something with your phone. What happened to Agent X?
Well, we stayed in the area, but we just stopped talking, and it took me about 2 or 3 years to get out of that area because, you know, I was a single mom and I didn't really have the finances. So he just stayed clear of me because he knew that him and I being together was dangerous, because the whole reason this thing was happening was to keep us from being together on Earth and to take us to Mars to use our creative energy, because he said that they knew me as Sophia, and that's why the ship was named that. And because I refused to go, it put a big, big issue in this mission being successful. So he was not allowed to be near me out of protection for me, because if he was with me, I would have to go with them. But they were going to not allow him to stay with me without threatening his life and his, you know. So, you know, this is something that exists in all beings. I mean, it's a part of our divine blueprint and DNA, but somehow I carry it to a point where they recognize that and wanted to take me to Mars to assist in reseeding the civilization with him as some sort of Osiris character. And that's where it gets into the esoteric and the archetypal. So we were not allowed to be together. After I made a choice not to go, he just had to walk away.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of the attacks stopped happening. I had a lot of, you know, really a lot of strain on my heart, and was not doing well with those frequencies that were coming off of him, and all that began to dissipate once I broke free. But it was not easy, you know. It took me a lot of because they really tried to get me. They did all they could to sort of convince me that it was a good thing, but because I knew so strongly, which you'll read on my site, about what I'm here to do on Earth to restore this planet and our connection to universal society, that was not what they wanted. And that has to do with, you know, the patriarchal global elite stuff. And it's not about patriarchal as in male. It's the misuse of power. And, you know, the agenda is to control the human race and not allow this planet to fulfill its true destiny or us as souls.
All right. Do you know where he is now? Have you remained in contact?
No, we didn't talk for about 2 or 3 years. And then I emailed him when I was finally able to move to California. I just said, you know, I'm leaving, and he wished me well. And it was a very sweet exchange that we had. And, you know, it's like I loved him at one point, and we were a couple. So, you know, I lost him to them, and it was, you know, devastating because I thought I would be able to, you know, rescue him from all that. I tried to get Oregon and rare earth metals to help deactivate some of the chips to help free him of their mind control. And, you know, it just, nothing would line up, and it was just a catastrophe. So I just had to, so I wrote him right before I moved. And then I accidentally emailed him about 6 months later, and he just said, hey, how you doing? And I see him on Facebook. I did not befriend him on Facebook. He's doing work now. He seems to be okay, but I know that this is probably shaking up his life, and my intention is really to protect him and bring the truth out. So it's one of those hard calls where, you know, you stir stuff up, you can create a lot of danger, but it's better to do that than just deny it and not do anything at all.
The people that make up this group you talked about, that they are inside of, they're part of the CIA, is this a rogue group inside the CIA, or are they operating with the blessings of the CIA?
I'm not really sure what rogue group means. I've heard that term.
Well, are they acting entirely on their own?
Right, right.
Or are they with the blessings of the CIA?
Well, you know, their names are linked to the CIA, that they are agents themselves, but I think they're functioning independently. They are a research group, and it seems to be masking this mission. It's kind of like there's a cover-up on the exterior about what they're doing, but on the inside, something very different is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, off-air or some other way I could communicate to you what that name is and what the group's name is, you might have some information about it.
Sure.
You would know what I'm talking about. Yeah, you would know what I'm talking about, because when I bring that name up to people, they know how dangerous this group is.
Well, let's talk about that. You don't seem to be too concerned about the danger involved for you.
Well, because they've tried to destroy me since I was a kid, so it's like I feel a lot safer being open about it rather than what they tried to do with me when I was behind the scenes and unable to say anything. Of course, I'm worried. Of course, this is not easy territory. I mean, I'm a mother. But like I said, I mean, I forgive whatever it was that is doing what it's doing to the, it's, I'm trying to walk away clean of it, and in forgiveness. But mm-hmm. I'm really here to illuminate, you know, what the positive is and what we do have to look forward to and what we should really be putting our attention on. This is important as a catalyst, you know, of what we have emerged out of and what is, you know, we're putting an end to. There's still stuff that needs to be done. But, you know, there are things that are manipulating the human race that people need to know so that they can start to realign their power to the right forces, because most people don't know that they're doing it. This is ingrained in our culture and in our society and in the world, and it has been for thousands of years. These plans have, you know, been going on for a really long time. And so Ike, part of the legacy of, you know, the Eisenhower legacy and the Magdalene legacy sort of merging in me, resolved the element of the alien agendas, the ETs, the Nazis, you know, the evil, the good and evil, and then this whole Magdalene thing, which is a whole other story. So, you know, this has been in the works for a long time, and we're born into it, we're used to it, and it takes either serious rebellion to be able to see through it, or, you know, having some extreme meltdown or close-to-death experience to be able to jolt one out of that programming that we're so conditioned to be a part of. So, you know, a lot of us don't know that we're feeding the very forces that are here to harm us. And so, I'm turning the lights on as best as I can. because it all sort of it comes from these type of places and these type of groups. There's a lot of that in Australia too, and in different parts of the world. And they're all, you know, it's nasty stuff, and it's absolutely inhumane. And what I saw happen to my partner really clued me in, and I had no idea to what degree that this was going on until I met him. I knew that I was being messed with big time.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really know how to handle it. I thought I was just going in the underworld, and I was living through these myths, and yes, I was. But there was a whole other element to it that really does, you know, run this the banking system. I mean, everything. It just goes on and on and on. So I was telling, you know, Alfred and Andy today, or, you know, just that this is a multidimensional exposure, disclosure. This is not just one level of reality that I'm discussing here. It's on many, many levels.
One of the things that I say frequently is that the old paradigm is in its death throes now. We're watching the death spasms of the old paradigm.
And I feel like I was right. Yep.
I just wanted to get your comment on that. Do you think I'm on target with that, or am I off target?
Well, that's what I mean. That's the whole. That's everything that has been my mission is to break free of the old paradigm and move us into the new one. And so this Venus transit's, you know, I mean, this is pretty instrumental in being behind this shift, along mm-hmm. with anybody else, including you, and who are doing this work of awakening and exposing controversial things and exposing the truth. Yes, like I said, after I broke free of that, they started to recognize from many sources that the negative timeline was coming to an end and that they were losing their power. And, you know, I recognized in those dreams that the decision that I made to break free was instrumental in ending those type of agendas. And I'm not trying to give myself credit. I'm just saying that that's how much it validates what you just said is absolutely true. All that is crumbling, and I see it all the time. I'm a reader. I do clairvoyant stuff. I see it energetically, and that's how I've really, you know, survived. I just, you know, close my eyes and just visualize what is going on here. I know when I'm in serious danger. I know when the planet and the Earth has been in serious danger, and, you know, I didn't quit. And right now, it's like I can finally take a deep breath. I know everything's going to be okay, but there's still a lot of work to do.
All right, we have a break coming up in just a few seconds, and when we come back from the break, you mentioned something in your writing about President Eisenhower and his confrontation or meeting with some ETs and the cover-up that happened after that. So I want to get into that just a little bit, and then we'll open the phone lines. We'll be back, folks. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Laura Magdalene Eisenhower. And if you missed the first hour and you're just now joining us, welcome aboard. You have my sympathy because you've missed a real universe of information. Before we went to break, Laura, I mentioned this meeting or confrontation or whatever it was between President Ike Eisenhower and extraterrestrials. And you mention it in your writing. And then you just, it's like one sentence and you end it by saying a well-known cover-up. Let's talk about that. Did he meet with extraterrestrials?
At this point, after all that I've been through and just the amount of sources that I've talked to and what I've researched, I don't doubt it at all. I mean, I can't imagine that I would be handling such ET-related issues in my life unless that had happened. I mean, there's no family proof. There's no secret documents that anybody in my family is holding on to. But it's truly based on intuition and, you know, certain things lining up with the information that I've heard that seem to really resonate. I do believe that he was deceived if it did happen. And I also believe that there might have been two different types of races that he met up with. And, you know, he had 8 heart attacks. And, he was able to step out of the box and say, you know, the warning about the military-industrial complex. So I know that there was some sort of wake-up call in him that related to all these issues where, you know, what we're dealing with now is related to things before that treaty and things perhaps during and after. You know, the contents, you know, are still yet to be known about what that happened, what happened during that time. But I do believe that, you know, these alien agendas use humans as hosts, and it related to the Nazi Party and that war, and that there was some sort of new agreement after that, the, you know, the war ended, and now I'm sort of picking up where he left off, dealing with similar entities with similar plans, and you know, as a child, I always communicated with him on a spirit level. I did meet Mamie. I never met him, but there was always his guidance, and it just seemed that I was picking up somewhere that all that left off on. I don't have any details except for my own life experience and what I've come across, particularly when this Mars thing came around, and how I feel it all connects. So,
okay, fair enough. What I want to do is open up the telephone lines and allow our audience to join us with questions and comments. The telephone number, the main number here in the studio, is 623-444-5889. If you're in the USA or Canada, there is a toll-free number. If you're not on a calling plan where you can call for free, you can use our toll-free number, and it is 888-223-4599. Now, if you're not in the USA and you're not in Canada and you don't want to make that international long-distance call, you can send me a flash message. You have to be outside of the USA. You have to be outside of Canada. But you just go to my website and scroll down. You'll see a link that says flash message. And you can send me a flash message, all right? The reason we call it that is when you send it, I get a little notice flashing on my screen that tells me I've got a flash message, okay? All right, let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Ryan in Washington.
Hi, Ryan.
I absolutely do not buy this. It sounds like... some of the part of the story might be true, but she's trying to turn it into like a Hollywood script or a Hollywood movie or something like Cinderella. Honey, right. if you think that you're queen of the universe, Queen Magdalene, that's coming to save the planet, and you're going to somehow do it by focusing on your light energy, then I think you need to see a psychiatrist, because it won't take long in this field for people to see right through this story. The biggest mistake you made was to go on Alfred Weber's show. The guy has no credibility. There's mistake number one.
Okay, well, hang on just a moment. Hang on. We are not going to attack other shows. That's out. Okay? Now, if you disagree with what she's saying, it's fair to say that you disagree with it. But we're not going to be attacking other shows.
Well, can I address this before he continues? Because... first of all, I have gone to psychiatrists. I've gone to healers. I've gone to clairvoyants. I've gone to psychics. I've gone to sound technologies. I have done everything under the sun to validate the story. You think that I would come out and say this crap and risk everything that I'm risking because I'm trying to write some scripts? First of all, I've been hidden, and I've kept this hidden most of my life. The only reason I'm coming out now is to protect the human race, and if you don't want to appreciate it, then get lost. That's all I have to say, because I really don't care what you think.
Okay.
It doesn't bother me at all, because I'm not doing this for the reasons you think. And I'm laughing on some level that you would think that I would do that, and I don't care because it's not true. I don't care what anybody does with this. I don't care if it goes nowhere, but at least I did it, and I can sleep at night. And that's all I care about.
Okay.
They told me this. I'm only saying what I've been told about me. As a child, I always knew it, but I didn't have to tell anybody. This was not public consumption. This was between me and Christ and the universe and this planet. I don't care what humans think.
But all right, now let me ask you a question.
It's just like, what am I going to do now? About 10, 15 people told me that this was true. So take it or leave it.
All right. Let me ask you something. Does it make you angry when someone says they don't believe you?
It's just annoying. It doesn't really make me angry. It's just kind of like, first of all, the energy behind his voice was very aggressive. And it's not coming from a place of respect. It's coming from assumption. And I just think that right there, that's a sad way to communicate. So already you've put yourself in a place that is not even coming close to, you know, being on a positive timeline or agenda, and it's not serving any positive energy. I don't care if you believe me, but at least have some decency.
Okay. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Bob from California.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, I want to tone it down because I'd give my perspective. I believe a lot of it, most of it, maybe all of it. I have absolutely no problem, and I was going to say that I really love the guest that's on the show. She's informative, provocative, intelligent, and has a lot of good things to say, and I think it's great. So I'm glad that you're here, Laura. And my other thing I wanted to say is we're really close to our mark on the meter, you know, as far as the funds go. Mm-hmm. And we've got two more days, and we're really close. And I remember in December when it was Christmas time with you living off of a dollar a day for eating, and we barely made the amount, and we thought we might be going out in January, but we barely made it. Mm-hmm. Well, we got 2 days left, and we're close. I just want to say, if you can, please donate another $10 so this man that's worked harder than all of us at his age, who's worked harder, and he nailed all these programs today, Miss Eisenhower and everybody else. He's been nailing them for us. He's been working, done all these things. Everybody who can, please donate $10, and let's demand that Kevin gets a steak dinner. All righty. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Thank you. Now, let me say, I just ran out of time, in fairness. Please, take his advice and donate your $10. But I just ran out of time and didn't have the chance to update that survival meter on the website. We have met our budget for this month. And we do have another issue, and please watch my vlog. Please watch that because it explains another issue that I'm dealing with. It doesn't have to do with our finances, but it has to do, it's going to impact us anyway. So please watch that. All right, back to the telephone. And caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, this is James Horick.
Hello, James.
And in defense of Ms. Eisenhower, I'd like to say that I don't think that one caller that was aggressive really for justice. I didn't appreciate it myself. I think the lady is brave. I think something has happened in her life to give her a purpose she's wrestling with. I think that she has probably waged a number of struggles. I think that we all owe her our sympathy, empathy, and attention. And I want to offer her my full support.
Outstanding.
Oh, all right. Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, James. All right.
Yes.
Well, look, you know, it's a talk show. And there are people that are in tune with what you're saying. There are people that are not. There are people that totally disagree with it and people that totally do. And, you know, I don't mind people calling in and telling me they disagree with the guests. That's okay.
I don't mind either. I actually like it. I welcome skeptics and challenges, and I put myself out there to be probed and tested and analyzed, I mean, or else I wouldn't do this. I mean, I come with full confidence, and I'm not attached to this role. It's been given to me. I didn't really choose it. It just is who I am. So I'm open for all sorts of things. It was just a little bit shocking to just have that come at me, but no, it was fine.
Well, you know, if you disagree, folks, that's fine. Just be civil.
Yeah.
Just be civil. Okay, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
It's Stefan from Quebec City, Kevin.
Okay, Stefan, what's on your mind?
Kevin, as you know, I'm part Native American, and I come from mainly a matriarchal society. And in our culture, it's pretty much the women that lead spiritually, and the men become strong after that. So I really appreciate the women that you have coming onto the show. And I may not have agreed with absolutely everything that Ms. Eisenhower stated, but I agree with a lot of it. And I like it. It's really informative. And what I specifically like to ask her is, it's not directly related to what she's presenting tonight, but I went to her website, and she mentioned that she's doing a lot of work with harmonizing male and female energy. And I was wondering, Ms. Eisenhower, like a lot of the problems that seem to be happening in the world today seem to be about the rift between men and women. For instance, wars, although some of them may be instigated by women, but most of them are dominated by men. I mean, guys create wars. And I think, what do you think is going to happen to human gender and the whole male and female thing in the future as we're entering the next Aquarian age?
Well, the concept that is my main point on my website, before all this Mars stuff, and just what I've been writing about, is all about sacred union and the marriage of opposites and the alchemical soul, journey of really, alchemizing the elements with spirit and, creating relationships with our male and female sides, because it's within us. I'm, working to illuminate the divine blueprint. So, people might think I'm trying to come forth as this Sophia thing, but actually I'm here to awaken that and activate the divine blueprint and the DNA that is really what our true genetics are about, that align us with our real abilities and well-being and health, and will help strip all this genetic damage of all these controls and negative technologies. So the Aquarian Age in this movement, I believe, is all about, that connection and honoring, the return. Even though she's always been there behind the scenes doing this path, the return of her to our awareness and to ourselves, within our own beings, and to, create the scales and put them back into balance. And in order to do that, this darkness needed to be lived through and tackled. And, most of my path, what I call through the underworld and through, the womb of the mother that has turned into hell, was to reclaim my power from those that control it. So that's why, I dealt with these people, because they were some of those that wanted to control my creative energy, on top of numerous people before the Mars colony that I write about. And it's been a long retrieval to get that back. And so that's my gift, to humanity as well, to help resurrect that part of ourselves that has been imbalanced, just through our culture and society. And that, discussing it and one-on-one and just being available to speak on these subjects to empower is really, a part of this shift, along with all the other light workers and healers that are out there.
All right, Stefan, thanks for the call.
Yeah.
Look, you talk about people, trying to control you, control your mind and so forth, and that you've done a lot to get away from that. Is it possible, and I bring this up because of a flash message I have from Leonardo in Puerto Rico. He says, no, it's not from him. Just a moment. It's from Bob in Australia. And he says that he thinks that this Agent X was really messing around with your head more than anything else. And that, maybe he was there to manipulate you and control you. What do you think?
Yeah, I thought that, as long as they have somebody to mess with me, it keeps me out of my body, it keeps me unbalanced. And, since I've been a kid, my whole mission, really, okay, I keep saying mission, but my whole intention was to get in my body and find peace and balance, because no matter what, I was not allowed to inhabit my body. There was something really pushing me out, not accommodating it. There was no... it was just one attack after another, and it came in the form of people. My ex-husband was messed with by aliens. He had been abducted. I guess they'd used his sperm to help with their race. That's what I found out, through some assistance. But there was always something to keep me out of balance and out of whack and messed with. And so I figured, that's why I question this. This might just be some sort of crazy scenario to just make me, fearful and panicked and ungrounded, because I'm used to that. But when I found out the names and I started doing research and I saw the paperwork and I listened to conversations and I saw those phone calls and everything that he was going through, I spent 5-6 months piecing it all together. And then, all these others that are making claims about Mars, it's all come to a place of reality.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I'm open to whatever it might be, and that's why I always say this needs investigation. I'm not here to stand by, because I'm a pretty flexible person. Question me and what they said I was and what I am, and I'm here to prove it in truth But I have no attachment to what's right or wrong. I just want the truth, and this is what my experience has been, and this is my truth. But, you know, whatever it becomes is what it becomes. But it needs to be investigated and understood.
All right, let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and where are you calling from?
Hi, John from Vancouver Island.
Hello, John from Vancouver Island. What's on your mind this evening?
Well, I'm listening to Ms. Eisenhower, and the feeling I'm getting is she's been targeted. Would that be true?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So what I'm thinking is there's just from what I know, two general streams of targeting. One would be bloodline, and the other would be the actual activity in the brain, which would be EEG. So I'm just wondering, like, you think it's the combination of the two? You think it's your brain activity or bloodline? Or, how do you think you got targeted?
I think the bloodline is one aspect, and then through their Akashic records and through whatever, they've been able to figure out who I was in past lives and what I am as a being. I can't help that. I can't make that go away. And those were my premonitions about me as a child, of you know, this Venus energy and these names of Magdalene and others. I can't make that go away, even though I've been in self-destruction mode, because I, you know, that's not something I would want to claim. And I got that proven correct by numerous sources. And so I think that has to do with it, too. I went to the wilderness for a couple of years just in case I was being mind-controlled to believe crap about myself. And I, you know, fasted for 14 days at a time to make sure that I was deactivating any possible BS that might be running through my system that would cause me to claim such things. And I did it for years and cleaned my whole being. And, you know, this truth became louder and louder, and nature spoke to me itself. So, and I don't get voices in my head. I talk directly to nature and source. And that's pretty much it.
Well,
so yeah, I think it's bloodline. I think it's numerous things. It's all kind of, you know, come together into one, you know, all these different crossroads, archetypally bloodline, you know, and I don't put myself as being any particular special bloodline. It's a bloodline that humanity carries that I'm working on activating, because we're fed lies and we're caused to think that God is separate, and I'm here to empower the fact that it's within, and that's been misunderstood through Christ's messages as well, and religion's distorted that. So, you know, I'm not putting myself on any special pedestal. I'm actually putting humanity on a pedestal, and I'm trying to raise it to where it belongs.
One thing I've been asking myself is, as thoughts come into my mind, I go, well, whose voice is that? And so I've been asking myself that all the time, because, like, I go, okay, a thought comes in. You think it's yours, but it may not be. I ask, does that make sense?
Absolutely. I've kind of given up on Laura and her thoughts. Even as a child, it's like I sort of stripped myself of that identity and gave myself to what felt right, which was more of my being, which is cosmos, earth, underworld, and just the whole of nature, and just giving myself to
that. Wait. Okay, cosmos, earth, underworld?
Well, like, you know, the underworld is being the creative vessel that's sort of like hell, just the darkness, the womb, you know, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
The void, I don't know. So I could associate with that, and I didn't really need my own thoughts or to understand myself in terms of identity. This vastness has been named a name like Sophia, but to me it's a personification of the forces of nature, and it's the surrender to divine will. And, you know, some people have a name for it. I don't have thought processes that are self-serving. It's more, I said, whatever you need to do to create balance and to rescue, you know, I don't know if rescue is the right word, but whatever needs to be done to create balance, harmony, and freedom, and breaking free of all this, use my body as a vessel, and I will do it. And so I don't need to have thoughts. I just surrender, and it does it for me. Because if I start to have thoughts, then first of all, I start to doubt myself. I start to get self-destructive because I don't want to claim this. And if I start to feel proud of it, I actually don't, because it's pretty torturous. So, you know, there might be, you know, one good feeling that people appreciate it maybe in past lives, but, I mean, it's not a very welcomed path. I mean, it's been pretty tortured. So I just, you know, I don't identify with it. Like I said, it's something about I use my body to balance the forces of nature and to open us up and lift veil so we can return to universal society and even lift the veil between life and death. So it's kind of like I gave it my body and you know, I try and articulate what I've gone through, and that's the only time I actually use thoughts. I have feelings more than thoughts. You know, I'm either sad or angry or confused, but my mind is just kind of like I've given it to something far greater than myself.
Okay.
I don't really think, it just does.
John, thank you for your call. Our timer caught you and has released the line, but thank you so much for your call. Good questions. You know, I have a flash message here from Australia. Let's see. This is from, Blue in Australia. And he says, remember the whistleblowers who talked about Hitler and the people who ridiculed them. Remember, folks, free speech. Okay, and then he says, what type of ETs have you encountered and who lives on the moon?
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, there's a lot going on with the moon. It's I don't know if I can really put it into words in a quick enough manner, but you know, there's something going on with the moon that is not functioning on an energetic level as it should be. There's bases on it. There's something that's been messing with that.
Okay, we have to take a break. We're going to step away for a couple of minutes, folks. We'll be back right after this, and we'll continue. Welcome back. We're talking with Laura Magdalene Eisenhower. And the telephone lines are open. The main telephone number, 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. And the toll-free number, 888-223-4599. When we went away for break, Laura, you were talking to us about the moon. Just very quickly, you said there are some things happening there that are not too good for us, huh?
Well, I don't know. I think it's just time to sort of let go of the lunar influence and enter a different type of feminine energy, because from sources that I'm close to and from revelations of my own, I think that's a lot of why our emotions, a lot of the targets on people, and it's not just mind control. Some of these races do have the ability to manipulate our emotions and cause us a lot of, just you know, and a lot of it's because of what's happening on the moon. I can't give details and exacts about, you know, what that's all about, but I did want to address, that's something to be further discussed for sure.
Okay, have you ever met any extraterrestrials personally?
I did when I was younger, but they were good ones, and they gave me glasses or some sort of device to put on my eyes to show me what my mission was about and what it would lead to. And it was the positive timeline, and it was I was on the shores in somewhere in Mexico near the Mayan ruins, and they said, you know, look through here, and it'll be so beautiful, it'll make you cry, and just stay true to it. And it was just kind of, you know, and I've had experiences with some very high beings that were alien-like, but you know, the whole freedom of speech thing. It's like, you know, I don't believe in the word enemy. I believe that the dark has been a catalyzing force for our awakening. And I think this is the era where we merge the light and the dark, and that we, you know, forgive and recognize the purpose that it serves, because the war will never end if we turn our back to it and choose to create another war. You know, justice will be served without having to, I think, punish the enemy. I think the backlash is enough for them to handle, and we should let nature take its course. But
right.
Yes, you know, the moon, things are going on with that. And, you know, the more we amplify the positive timeline that we have, you know, the more everything's going to fall into place, because like any organism that heals, that has a built immune system, it naturally ejects the dark, you know, the germs, the manipulations, and, you know, as we collectively heal, everything else will fall away. We just have to redirect our power.
All right, let's go back to the telephone.
Okay.
Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hi, Brent.
Hi, Kevin. Laura, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. Could you relax? I know you're nervous. I know you're under a lot of stress, probably for your book and a lot of other things, but could you just relax for a minute?
Sure.
Now, how good are you at meditation?
I meditated. I had my eyes closed for a good couple of years, and I appreciate you wanting to give me a lesson in this right now.
No, I'm not going
to
give you a lesson. I'm just going to ask you to do me a favor. I just want you to find some quiet time for yourself and focus on the positive energies, surround yourself with those, and then center yourself. And
yeah.
Okay.
I do that all the time. That's what keeps me strong and keeps me going, so thank you. I do that. It's just, you know, articulating this stuff gets me a little amped, but I feel very protected. I feel very centered. But, you know, it's a lot to articulate, and I've never really been on the radio before, you know, just for a couple times. So, you know, I'll get used to it.
Okay.
But thank
now,
you.
Two more questions. How are your kids?
They're well.
Good.
Yep.
Now, on Facebook, they have a little news feed so you can keep track of people you contact.
Uh-huh.
If you can get your friend to just add you to his list, you can keep track of him just by checking your Facebook account and checking the news feed.
Right, I get that. I'm on Facebook. Who's my friend? You mean Agent X?
Yeah, Agent X.
I don't want to befriend him on Facebook.
No, don't befriend him. Just keep track of him.
Yeah,
okay.
I check up on his page. Yeah.
All right. Thanks for the call, Brent. And we go to the next call. And caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Oh, well, they gave up. Okay, 623-444-5889 or toll free at 888-223-4599. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, Kevin, this is Mike from Kentucky.
Hello, Mike.
I'm doing well, and I hope everyone else is, and just wanted to call in and support, you know, Laura. And Laura, did you know your great-grandfather at all?
No, but I did meet Mamie, and I never met Ike. And
okay,
I know his son very well. His son, who's still alive, I'm very close with.
Was there any questions between you and her about whether or not her dad admitted that meeting with extraterrestrials out west?
Not one person in my family has said anything on the subject, and I'm close to all of them. It's just not something that is, it's not a part of our family discussions. It's, and they're not hiding anything either. I can tell.
Okay, I know that I've been around this for about 55 years, and I know the story, and when he was allegedly taken away from, gone to a dentist, but of course they say that he met aliens at one of the Air Force bases out there, Muroc. So
right.
I was just wanted to ask that question, see if you knew anything about it.
Like I said in the interview part, all I really know is what I've experienced that seems to tie into what must have taken place that has helped me answer a lot of questions based on research that I've seen. I've sort of been able to see what the research is and then compare it to what I've experienced and kind of come up like a detective with my own answers. But I don't have any written documentation or any insights from my family, just, you know, from my experience and my own communications with Ike's spirit, which, you know, you take with a grain of salt because it is communicating with somebody who's passed, but the communication's always been pretty strong.
Okay, so you think that you support the idea?
I do support the idea, but I don't claim any solid, fixed opinion to where I can say this is exactly what it is. I have a lot of different ideas, and I think it's a mixed bag, and I think there a lot more than one occurrence took place, maybe with more than one race, based on, you know, some conclusions that I've drawn. But, you know, I have to keep my mind open, and I'm just kind of still sorting it out, you know?
Yes, okay. Be safe, be strong, and continue your work. Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks for the call. I've got a flash message from Paul in Australia. You have a fan Paul says, Laura is extremely hot. Also, she's already famous. When I tell people I was abducted, they think I need pills. Lots of laugh. True story. Great show, Kevin and Laura. Why are people so unkind? Donate to the Kevin Smith Show. And I do, so should I. Okay. I do, so should you. Okay. Thank you, Paul.
Oh, sweet.
Okay. Let's see. From the United Kingdom, we have Craig. And Craig says, great show. Mr. X sounds like a Manchurian candidate. Your guest talked about the negative energy from Mr. X, which made her ill. Could your guest comment further on this, please? Does she think maybe he was a hybrid?
Well, you know, I know he had multiple personalities. I know that at times I was dealing with his true nature, the one that I, you know, fell for and was why I was with him and became his partner. But after he would go on these missions or go disappear into the night and come back and was acting more robotic, the frequencies that came off of his body made me throw up and made my kids sick, made my dog sick. You know, and his behavior was very erratic and very difficult to deal with. So, you know, I don't know what, I haven't formed any beliefs about what I think he is. I just know that, you know, knowing about the chips and the research that I have done that, you know, it's part of their control.
Mm-hmm.
And he has had a lot of encounters with alien energies and experiences, so.
Okay.
You know, yeah.
We have, caller, if you'll hang on just for a moment, let me say Leonardo in Puerto Rico, we are going to get to your flash message next after this call, okay? And caller, your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Lynn from PA.
Hi, Lynn.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm just calling to support Laura. I'm a lifetime UFO contactee, and I'm almost like in the opposite situation as she is. I now have family members in Congress and in Washington, D.C.,
uh-huh.
And the way my life turned out is I wanted to contact you about my situation, but I heard Laura on here, and I felt I have to call her and just give her my support because I know what she's going through, because I'm going through the same thing. I will be getting in contact with you. Because I have a lot of answers for what is really going on, too. And I want to share it on Kevin's show one of these nights. And it does involve into our spiritual advancement. And it's really important what people need to learn about what I have been told by entities, humanoid beings. I have met about 16 different types of humanoid beings, and they were all the nice ones. I didn't contact grays or reptilians, and they told me so much, and I'm feeling now I have to start sharing this, too. And I think what's happening with Laura, it's almost we're at a state of almost panic to get the word out because something's about ready to happen. And I think this is why I'm trying to come out and tell people my story, too.
Well, Lynn, let me ask you to do this. Send me your story, email me your story, and include a telephone number where I can call you and we can talk about it, and we'll see. We may can do a show.
Okay, Kevin. Okay, keep up the good work, Laura.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to me.
Oh, you bet.
Anytime. I'm curious. I want to hear more, so I'll be listening out for you.
And thank you, Lynn, for the call. All right, 623-444-5889. And toll free at 888-223-4599. We're only about 10 seconds away from a break when we come back. Leonardo, we're going to take your flash message up next, right after this break, and then we'll be on final approach, so we'll have time for one or two more phone calls. Get your fingers ready. We'll be back. Back to the Kevin Smith Show, and up next, Laura, are you still with us?
I am.
All right. Up next, flash message from Puerto Rico from Leonardo. He says, Kevin, please ask your guest, why doesn't President Obama want to pursue going to the moon or Mars? Is he being used as a negative force? So answer that without getting political, if you can.
Yeah, I think that it's something that we wake up every day and determine. I think we all have an onslaught of energy that wants to force us into, or attempts to force us into negative behavior or to serve negative agendas. And I think that there's no way to predict it with Obama. You know, I think he's faced with all sorts of things, and he's going to make choices that that we just need to accept, but choose to empower ourselves as leaders and create change without waiting around for leaders anymore. And that's why I'm speaking, and that's why disclosure should happen without waiting for the president to do it, because, you know, we don't know what they're going through, and I'm related to a president, and I know that what can happen in those offices. So, you know, I get a good feeling about him, and that's all I'll say. And I just think he's going to be bushwhacking through some all sorts of forces of light and dark, and we'll just, you know, hope for the best and empower the good in him.
Okay. And by the way, everyone should realize that in the United States of America, I think most Americans realize this, but maybe not. But in the United States of America, the ball game is not the president. He makes recommendations. He can sign legislation or veto legislation, but he cannot make law. And that happens in Congress. It happens with the House of Representatives and the Senate, and the two of those together are called Congress. And they are the ones who create the laws. They are the ones who actually build a budget. And so, you know, yeah, he plays a really big role, but he's not an absolute ruler. And so you have to, you know, get your focus on Congress, because that's where the ball game is. The president is at the end of the line on laws. That's where it stops. It starts with the House of Representatives or with the Senate, and then they put the two bills together, and then come out with a compromise, and then they send it to the president. And so he's at the end of the line. And he can either sign it or he can veto it. Laura, I think that it is incredibly brave for you to do what you're doing. Whether people buy what you say or don't buy what you say, nevertheless, it's incredibly brave to say what you say. And I think, you know, let's assume for a minute that nothing you have said is true. Let me play the devil's advocate for a moment. And let's assume that nothing you've said is true. You still have endangered yourself by saying it, because the people involved are not going to be happy with it. Now let's assume. Let's assume it's all true.
Right.
Okay. The people involved are not going to be happy with it. So either way you slice it, doing what you're doing, saying what you're saying, takes a tremendous amount of courage. And
that's how wrong it felt too, you know. So
I'm sorry, say that again.
And that's just an example. That just shows how wrong it felt to me, and that's why, you know, I'm taking this risk, because it did not feel right. Something's very wrong.
Mm-hmm. All right. So either way, folks, either way you slice this, it takes a lot of courage to do what she's doing, and I applaud you for your courage. Let's go to the phone. This will be our last call. And, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Oh, hi, Kevin. My name's Doug from Tennessee.
Hi, Doug.
Hello there. And I do want to thank you for having Laura on. I want to congratulate you, Laura, for your courage, for revealing what you know. And I know it's not easy being the Columbus, you know, of new information and the ridicule that Columbus went through and all the other trendsetters, so to speak. So I want to thank you for that.
Oh, thanks.
And also, have you seen the Conan O'Brien show before it went off the air?
I haven't seen that many episodes.
Well, they had a Dwight Eisenhower. I'm sorry? They had a Dwight Eisenhower planter on his desk, and what cracked me up is my parents have that same planner, and I said, oh, my God, I'm seeing my parents' planner on their show. What's going on? That just caught me off guard. But, my question is, have you seen the Moon Rising movie?
Have I seen it rising?
No, it's a movie, Laura. It's called Moon Rising by Jose Escamilla.
By who? Jose Arguello?
Jose Escamilla.
Oh, no, I haven't.
Okay, check that out on YouTube. It's, I think, eight, 10-minute shows, but some incredible information on there. But it was, that's something I would definitely recommend to see. But can you just tell me a little bit about Mars? I missed the first hour, not to go through the whole thing, but the cover-up on Mars, is that about I heard they don't want to have a live camera when they land on Mars because they don't want to have that information getting back to Earth. Is that something along the lines of the cover-up? Or?
Well, I don't know about that specifically. I know that one of my colleagues has a lot of photos and pictures. All I know is there's a cover-up. There was a mission, and it didn't seem to be serving humanity or the positive timeline of what nature's will intends for us. And that's all I'll say. You know, to kind of make a long story short, as far as who's behind it, I think, like I said, you know, to embrace the darkness is a catalyst for our awakening, and to kind of merge the two and see where they fall. But I'm not here to punish or condemn or judge them as evil. It's just, this is where it stands, and I'm really here to illuminate what is positive as we break through and rise like the phoenix out of a lot of darkness and manipulation.
Oh, great.
All right. Craig, I want to thank you for the call. I mean, Doug, I want to thank you for the call.
Thank you very
much, Doug.
And keep up the great work, Laura.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Laura, where does it go from here? I mean, you've gotten a sampling here tonight. We have some emails, some flash messages, one or two that said, I don't know about this. And we had a caller that, he says he doesn't buy it. The majority of the callers have been supportive. Take all that together, and where does this go from here now? What do you do next?
I'm just here to just heal and kind of step into what I sort of felt was taken from me and what I've lost. And when I say me, I sort of represent something lost in humanity. So I'm just here to really empower what's to come and to embrace, just everything positive about this great shift and celebrate and enjoy freedom and try and work with the dark forces that might be angry with me, and just, you know, work with healing that and finding resolution and some sense of closure, and just hoping that, you know, my intention towards everybody, good, bad, dark, evil, whatever anybody wants to label it, as that we take all these layers and unify them and create harmony, because it's all different chords and we're all a global family, and to just really embrace that and move on. And there's lots to celebrate. So I'm just, you know, looking forward to a lot of projects, working with Alfred some more and Andy, and some creative projects I have in the works, and just raising my family and just being a voice whenever I'm called for. I'm just happy to speak and be available to people.
All right. We have reached the end of the show. The music is taking over. Laura, stay on the telephone with me for just a moment, if you will. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it. That's a wrap for this evening. I hope you've enjoyed it. It's a wrap for this week, and I hope you've enjoyed the week. And if you're not a member, be sure you join so you can watch all this stuff. All right. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do, too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.